Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
All right. Hey, all, welcome to 2023, ready or not. It's here. I want to begin this morning by sharing a story with you. It's a true story, actually, and I'm going to mainly quote from a fellow named Max Licato. It's a story about a woman named Sarah who was immensely wealthy. Sarah had inherited $20 million, and then every day thereafter, for the rest of her life, she would receive $1,000, which is a lot of money today, but in the 1800s, it was an unbelievable amount of money. Sarah was also very well known. She was the belle of New Haven, Connecticut, and no social event was complete in that city without Sarah's presence. No one hosted a party without inviting her. Sarah was a very powerful, influential woman. All the universities wanted her money. Her name was on all kinds of buildings from her donations. Politicians clamored for her support and endorsement. Organizations wanted her face on their curriculum. Sarah was rich. She was well known. She was powerful. She was miserable. Her only daughter had died at 5 weeks of age, and then her husband died shortly thereafter. So Sarah was left alone with her name, her money, her power, and her guilt. It was her guilt that caused her to move from Connecticut out west. It was a passion for penance that drove Sarah to relocate to San Jose, California. Her yesterdays imprisoned her todays, and she longed for freedom. So Sarah bought an 8-room farmhouse on 160 acres outside San Jose. She hired 16 carpenters who worked around the clock for the next 38 years to build a mansion, the mansion of all mansions. Observers were intrigued by the project because some of her instructions for the build, they weren't simply eccentric, they were eerie. This mansion, every window had to have 13 panels. Every wall had to have exactly 13 panes. Each closet had to have 13 hooks. Each chandelier had to have 13 globes. The floor plan was oddly disturbing. Corridors snaked randomly, some of them leading nowhere. One door in the home opened to a blank wall, another to a 50-foot drop. One set of stairs led to a ceiling that had no door. There were secret passageways. There were trap doors. There were tunnels. This was no retirement home for Sarah's future. It was a castle for her past. The making of this mysterious mansion only ended when Sarah passed away. The completed estate had 6 kitchens, 13 bathrooms, 40 stairways, 47 fireplaces, 52 skylights, 467 doors, 10,000 windows, 160 rooms, and a bell tower. Why did Sarah want such a castle? Didn't she live alone? Well, sort of, those accompanied or those who were acquainted with her would say. There were visitors, and the visitors came to see Sarah every night. Legend has it that every evening at midnight, a servant would pass through this secret passageway that led to the bell tower. He would ring the bell to summon the spirits. Sarah would then enter into the blue room, a room reserved for she and her nighttime guest, and together they would linger until 2 a.m., and then when the bell would be rung once again, Sarah would return to her quarters and the spirits allegedly would return to their graves. So who comprised this legion of phantoms? It was Indians and soldiers killed on the U.S. frontier. They'd all been killed by bullets. Bullets from the most popular rifle in America, the Winchester. What had brought millions of dollars to Sarah Winchester had brought death to tens of thousands of them. And so Sarah spent her remaining years in a castle of regret, providing a home in her mind for those she had killed. You can actually today travel to San Jose and see this poltergeist palace if you want. You can tour the halls and see its remains. But to see what unresolved guilt can do to a human being, you don't have to go to the Winchester Mansion in California. Lives imprisoned by yesterday's guilt are all around us this morning. Hearts haunted by failure, maybe sitting in the pew in front of you. Consciences that are buried in condemnation for past sins, set just across the aisle from you this morning. How many Sarah Winchesters do you know? How far do you have to go to find a soul haunted by ghosts from their past? Maybe not very far, because maybe Sarah's story is your story. And you limped into church this morning, buried under the guilt of the sins you committed in 2022. For some of us, it's such a relief 2023 is here, because that just means 2022 is over. And in 2022, there were a lot of regrets some of us have. We fell short a lot. We sinned a lot. We said we were going to read our Bibles more last year, and that went great until about February. We said we were going to pray more this past year. We didn't. We said we were going to share our faith more and be more bold about Jesus, but we didn't. We said we were going to get more involved in our church. We didn't. We weren't the spouse we should have been. And our marriage has paid the price, and we feel the guilt of that. We weren't the parents we should have been. We resolved in 2022 we were going to get off of our phones and not be so distracted from our kids, but we failed. And we blink and we feel like we lost a whole year of our kids' lives, and it's a year closer to them leaving, and we carry this guilt that we've not been the parents we should have been. Many of us spent a lot of time in 2022 just being angry. Mad at the world, mad at our friends, bitter towards other people, angry at God. Others gave in to lust, gossip. We coveted the seemingly perfect lives of other people as we scroll through Instagram. Their perfect kids, their perfect marriage, their beautiful home, their 17th vacation. Pride kept creeping into our hearts. We were driven by a love for money. Our language didn't glorify God a lot. We drank more than we should have. We relapsed. We just weren't the godly people we know we were supposed to be in 2022. And so we limp into 2023 feeling the weight and the guilt of our sin. Brothers and sisters, the weight of our sin and feeling that is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it is a good thing to feel the weight of our sin, because God is holy and He calls us to be holy like He is holy. Conviction of our sin It's a wonderful gift from the Holy Spirit. And feeling conviction over sin is one of the evidences that we're actually a Christian. So the moment our sin no longer bothers us is a very dangerous moment in our lives. And we should be very afraid if our conscience no longer conflicts within when we fall short of the glory of God. So it's a good thing to be aware of our sin and to feel the weight of our sin and to be broken. But it's not good to stay there. So this morning, I believe God has called me to say to you that somebody today needs not to be reminded once more of how bad you messed up. You are well aware of that. You don't need the preacher to tell you you dropped the ball again. But somebody this morning just needs to hear the heart of a loving father who is saying to you in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All the unrighteousness. All of it. No sin left uncovered. In Hebrews 8:12, God wants someone to hear this morning that because of the death of Jesus, God is saying directly to you, I will forgive your wickedness and I will remember your sins no more. If you're in Christ this morning because of the gospel, in God's mind, it's as though your sins in 2022 no longer exist. He remembers your sins no more. Somebody needs to hear this morning from Psalm 103 that because of the death of Jesus, as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove your transgressions from you. And some of us this morning are beating yourself over the head for the sins of this past year. But God wants you to hear that there is therefore not a little condemnation. There is not still some lingering condemnation, but there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, what part of no don't we understand? Somebody this morning just needs to hear 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone, no matter what you've done, no matter your past, no matter what you did last night, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, everything has become new. What the gospel says is that your sins from 2022 do not have to define you in 2023. Because the sins of 2022 and all of the past sins for that matter have been nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ and you bear them no more. In Jesus, you are not just a dirty, rotten, pitiful little sinner that God tolerates because he has to. In Jesus, you are a chosen, righteous, blameless child of the living God. In Jesus, you are not who you used to be. In Jesus, you're a new creation. And in January 1 and moving forward, new creations in Jesus don't find our power in New Year's resolutions. Because in 2023, you don't need a better you. In 2023, we just need to live into the power of Jesus that is already in us. So how do you have this new creation power and forgiveness and freedom so that you don't have to live in a castle of guilt and regret? It's not going to be because of the 12 steps and how well you can hold to them. It won't be because of your horoscope. It won't be because of good luck. It won't be because of some TED talk you listen to on YouTube that inspires you or some book you can read or some motivational speech. You will have new creation power in you because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that you really need for this new year, you already have in Jesus. You don't have to go find anything this year. Christ has already found you, and he is here, and he lives in you. if you've repented of your sins and believed in Jesus. How could this be true? How could I sin so terribly in 2022 and you say there's no more guilt or judgment or punishment remaining for me? How could I get a clean slate? That's too good to be true. I mean, what world are we living in when the God of the universe doesn't hold your sins against you? Skip down four verses to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. So in verse 17, God says, you're a new creation in Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, here's the theological reason for that. He, in verse 21, he refers to God the Father. He made the one, that's Christ the Son. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. So that's Christ, who did not know sin, meaning Jesus never sinned. He became sin for us. Jesus became sin. So that in Christ, when we believe in Jesus, God positions us spiritually in Jesus. So that when God sees you, he sees Christ. When God sees Christ, he sees you in Jesus. You and Jesus, one flesh, one spirit. So that when you're in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So at the cross of Jesus Christ, there was this glorious exchange. Every sin we've ever committed, including the worst thing we did in 2022, every sin was dumped on the head of Jesus. And Jesus was so consumed with our sin. Paul says in verse 21, he became sin for us. Jesus, the Holy One, becomes the heinous one. The righteous one becomes the rebel. The perfect one becomes the sinner, as it were. Jesus wears our sins as dirty rags. Which means, friends, if you are in Jesus this morning, if your faith is in Jesus, the sins of your past and the sins of your 2022, God did not simply sweep them under the rug. God didn't just turn a blind eye to them because he was having a good day and feeling charitable. If you're in Jesus, God can forgive you and be fully just and righteous because all of those sins were paid for by Jesus on the cross, and you bear their penalty no more. But that's not all that happened at the cross. You didn't just lose that sin record and guilt, but you gained something amazing. All right, confession time. Speaking of confession, how many fellow traffic school alumni do I have in the house? We should go through and see who's been the most. I bet I'd beat you. Shouldn't brag about that. But getting pulled over is never fun. Like, nothing will make your heart drop. Then you look up and you in the rear view, right, and you see those little. It happened to me in Nashville the other day, actually. And I was like, man, I didn't even think I was going that fast. And I look, and sure enough, it had been one of those. It had gone from 70 to 55 real quick. And I was going 72. I was like, all right, 17 over. He's got me. But then, you know what? He kept going. It was awesome. He got the guy in front of me, and I was so happy. Like, I drove by. I was like, that's what you get for speeding, man. Clean living right there. That's right. No, but in all seriousness, I saw this the other day. It was really cool. Getting pulled over is never fun. But what if instead of a ticket, you got a gift card from the police officer? What world would that happen in? Oh, what happens in Carmine, Illinois? This past holiday season, the police initiated what they call the Operation Christmas Spirit. So when drivers were pulled over for speeding, instead of a ticket, the Carmine Police Department would give you a $50 gift card. I'm like, is there a limit on that? There's got to be something like not right about that. But that's amazing. So even though you broke the law, instead of getting a speeding ticket, You got precisely the opposite of what you didn't just not receive the punishment. You proactively got something positive, a gift card. Well, that's what happened at the cross, actually. We deserve death. We deserve hell. We deserve God's punishment. Because of Jesus' death, not only does he not give us hell, but he proactively gives us the righteousness of Jesus. You don't just get a clean slate. You get perfection infused into you or imputed into you, the perfection of Jesus, so that when God sees you, he sees Christ. Now, where do I get all of that? Verse 21, this is the totality of the gospel. It's not just losing your sin record. It's gaining righteousness. God made the one who did not know sin, I'm in verse 21, to be sin for us so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. So at the cross, not only does God transfer your sins to Jesus, I mean, that would be enough, right? But then God turns around and transfers Jesus' perfect righteousness to your account. We now get credit for the life Jesus lives. So when God looks at us, he sees us in Christ. When God looks at Jesus, he sees perfection. Therefore, when God looks at you in Jesus, he sees perfection. God looks at you in Christ as though you did not sin in 2022. That is amazingly good news. That is why the gospel is actually good news. You don't just lose your old identity in Jesus. You become something new. You become the righteousness of God. And that is why in the four verses before, Paul says, if you're in Jesus, verse 17, you're a new creation. You've become something new. You are not who you used to be. The old you has been crucified at the cross with Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, in 2023, when the devil tells you you're nothing but a failure, and when the world tells you you'll never measure up, and when your ex sends you scathing text messages burying you in your past mistakes, and when everybody around you condemns you, and when you lie in bed at night beating yourself over the head because of the failure you are, you need to remember the gospel that God holds your sins against you no more, because those sins were drowned in the sea of Jesus' blood. So before you're a distracted mother on her phone again, because before you're an easily angered father, before you're an anxious teenager, before you're a spiritual failure, before you are a sinner, you are a saint that's been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. That is who you are in Jesus Christ. And that's something to sing about. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to sing now in response to the gospel and celebrate that good news. But before we do, our music team is going to move in this direction. This is an important moment in this sermon. Because we need to spend some time in confession of sin and repentance. Because he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. When? When we are confessing those sins. So the forgiveness and the cleansing, it's for those who have repented. And so here's what I want to encourage all of us to do, is just take some time in repentance and confession with God. And that can look different for different people. But I want to provide a passage of scripture on the screens for you in Psalm 51. This is after David. He had been unfaithful to his wife. He had had another man murdered, and he is buried under his guilt. And he prays this psalm of confession. And so just in your own way, as the Spirit leads you, I want to encourage you to meditate on these verses on the screen. And about every 30 or 60 seconds, we're going to rotate through those verses. There's a few more as well. And just let those words be your prayer this morning. So what we're not saying is, okay, we sinned in 2022, no big deal. Let's just move on. Like, first, we need to confess. We need to repent. There is a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. So we need to step into this. Some of us haven't dealt with our sins. Some of us haven't confessed. And we need to have that holy moment of repentance. So let's bow our heads and we're going to ask our team to begin playing here. And this altar is open at the front. If for you, that's helpful. I know for me, sometimes when I need to repent, I just need to get on my knees. There's something physically about that that humbles me and reminds me of I need to get low before God. So there's freedom if you want to remain in your seat, if you want to take a knee before the Lord, if you need to get on your face before God. But just spend several moments here in confession. Remembering the gospel and confessing your sins to God. And then in just a few moments, we'll celebrate the forgiveness. Father, we, like David, come before you with broken spirits. Father, we, like David, pray, be gracious to me, O God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassions, blot out our rebellion. God, completely wash away our guilt and cleanse us from our sin, for we are conscious of our rebellion. God, our sin is always before us. God, against you and you alone have we sinned. We have done what is evil in your sight. God, purify us with hyssop and we will be clean. Wash us and we will be whiter than snow. God, let us hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. God, turn your face from our sins and blot out all of our guilt. God, create in us a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within us. God, don't banish us from your presence. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation and sustain us by giving us a willing spirit. Oh God, make our broken bones rejoice again. Father, as we have confessed our sins and Lord, we feel the weight of them. But now, Lord, would you turn our mourning into dancing because of the gospel? Father, because of Jesus and his shed blood and righteousness, may these broken bones rejoice, give joy, give freedom, give hope in the gospel that who we are is who you say we are, that we are a child of the living God, and in our Father's house, there is a place for us. So, oh God, in this moment, as your people stand to our feet, let's stand together. Oh God, as we stand now before you, we go from our knees to our feet. And Father, we are going to lift our voices to you in song and in praise. Father, may we believe the gospel. May we sing the gospel that there is freedom in Jesus. There is forgiveness in Jesus. God, we belong. We are accepted in Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, we rebuke Satan. And all of the principalities and powers that would slither in and cause condemnation for your children, in Jesus' name, may they be gone. Spirit of God, only may we hear the voice of Christ, which is the voice of hope and forgiveness and freedom and liberation from guilt. Lord Jesus, awaken in us a new faith in the gospel. May we believe, may we trust Christ, give us a glorious vision of forgiveness and hope. Lord Jesus, we sing to you as a new people. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, let's sing as though we're happy. Let's sing as though forgiveness is real. This is not a funeral home. We're redeemed. Let's worship Jesus together in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys could be seated for just a few moments here. Did any of you have to fly over the past week? Anybody have to go through airport? Man, God bless you if you did. That's just been a fiasco, hasn't it? I heard about this man that was at the airline ticket counter this past week, and he was hollering at the agent, just being so incredibly rude. And he continued just to rant and rave, and the agent was just so calm and quiet and gracious. And she just treated him so respectfully as though he didn't even bother her. And so the next guy came up in line and he said, "Wow, I'm so impressed. You must be a Christian. Like, how could you possibly be so kind to that mean man?" She said, "Well, it actually wasn't that hard. He's going to Texas, but his bags are going to Tokyo." Yeah. So, you know, 2023 is here and we don't know where it's going to take us. So like, here's what I think the Lord wanted us to do this morning is to feel freedom from the past year, but to go into the new year with a sense of faith and confidence, knowing that for many of us, this is a very anxious day because 2023 is going to happen and we don't know where it's going to take us. It may take us to Texas. It may take us to Tokyo. It may take us to the emergency room and the hospital all day Christmas Day and Christmas week like it did my family last week. It will take some of us to very dark and difficult places. We don't know what's going to happen this year. I can't stand up. I'm not some prosperity preacher and say it's all going to be good. Just have faith and life will be awesome this year. Can't say that because it's not true. But here's what I can promise you on the authority of God's word. No matter what happens in 2023, no matter where this year takes you, God will be faithful. It will not be a bed of roses for most of us. But the faithful presence of God will hold us. And so here's, I want to just wash you in God's word. I'm going to ask our music team here just to kind of join me in the background. Just receive the word of God. If you want to just posture your heart to receive this, if you want to open up your hands, you can do that. I want you to think about all of the anxieties you have for this year. Finances, health, family stuff, work stuff. All the uncertainties. Now just let the word of God ease that anxiety because God is one in Psalm 36. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. In Psalm 119, God, your faithfulness endures to all generations. In Psalm 91, God will cover you this year with his feathers and under his wings, you will find refuge in 2023. God's faithfulness will be your shield and rampart this year. Church, when the world drops bombs on you this year, and it will, but God will be your hiding place. When people turn on you this year, and they will, God will have your back. When everything around you is going to feel like sinking sand this year, God will be the rock upon which you can stand in 2023. And when you sin this year, and you will, and when you feel like you don't deserve his grace, and you'll probably feel that at some point, you hold on to 2 Timothy 2:13, that if we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Friends, your and my ultimate hope for 2023 is not in our faithfulness to God, but it's in God's faithfulness to us. Nothing that this life throws at you this year is bigger than God. This is why the psalmist said in Psalm 37, "I have been young and now I am old and I have never seen the righteous forsaken." Brothers and sisters, I can't make any promises about 2023, but I can promise you this. God will be faithful. God will be faithful. And so we're going to conclude our time today here in just a moment by singing in response to the faithfulness of God. But before we sing, I just want us to take another posture of prayer. Let's bow our heads once more and just bring before the Lord the anxieties you have for the new year. Just go ahead in the spirit of 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxieties on God because he cares for you. Almost envision you've got a satchel hanging over your shoulder. And imagine you've got 30 baseballs in that satchel. And each of those baseballs represents an anxiety, a fear. And it's as though, take out each of those baseballs one by one and just pitch them on over to God. And pick each ball up out of the bag and look at it. Say, okay, this is my financial anxiety. God, I don't know how we're going to get through this year. The mortgage, got that car payment. Well, those medical bills are stacking up. My kids need braces. God, my transmission just went out. And now just take that ball and you throw it on over to God's big glove. And you let him bear that for you. Now you get out that next baseball and it's your health. You're waiting on that diagnosis, that blood work, you got that surgery, or it's your mom sick, your dad sick, your child sick. Your grandmother's struggling. You look at that anxiety and you're just going to throw that on over to your Heavenly Father. All right, now you just take a few moments until every baseball out of that bag is gone and you give that stuff to God. Say, God, I trust you. God, you're faithful. You will sustain me. Spend that time with the Lord now before we sing. Some of you, there's still that, you still got that one baseball in there and you're not willing to throw it over, are you? I got a couple and it's hard for me to let go of right now. Hear the word of the Lord spoken to you. And it's time to cast that anxiety on God. And if he's going to bear it, it means you're not. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you. I have numbered the hairs on your head. See the bird and how he's fed. Won't I take care of you? Aren't you of much more value than the sparrow? See the flower in the field. See its beauty. Aren't you of more value than the flower? Won't I take care of you? I am faithful, says the Lord. You will be young, you will be old. I will not forsake you. I will cover you with my feathers. And under my wings, you will find refuge. My faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Brothers and sisters, we can trust him. And he's got open arms and he's saying, go ahead and give me that last thing. I love you, and all the things in 2023 will work together for your good. Because I've called you according to my purpose, And even if it hurts, even if it's painful, even if there's discipline involved, I will conform you to the image of Christ, God says, Romans 8. Father, in Jesus' name, as we stand to our feet, church, let's stand together. And Father, we're going to sing to you again. God, we're going to sing of your faithfulness. God, we're going to sing of your goodness. Lord, hear our song is a thanksgiving of praise. God, may we sing with joy and hope and faith. Spirit of God, give us faith. Overcome our fear. Perfect love of Jesus, cast out fear. Jesus, give us faith and confidence, not in ourselves, not in circumstances, not in the world, but in you. Oh God, lock our eyes on you and your faithfulness and give us joy as we sing these songs in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one more song and then our doxology. Before we do, just everybody bow your heads for a moment. Just, I sense there are some among us who you still got that thing and you're trying to give it to the Lord. You really are trying, but it's so heavy. You're like, I can't give it. I can't throw it to God. My arm can't even lift it. And sometimes we just need extra prayer, as it were. And I also think there's safety in community. And I just feel like there's some folks here this morning and you feel all alone. You see other folks and their hands lifted up and they seem to have this great life and here you are. And you just feel so buried in anxiety. I want you to know you're not alone. That there are many in this room now who are suffering and hurting. And this is a safe place. So I don't know if anyone needs to do this, but I feel like the Spirit was just leading me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're Pastor James, I really need prayer. Like, would you and maybe some of the leaders of the church just pray for me? If that's you, would you be so bold as just to step out of your seat and just come down here and just kind of stand at the front? And when you get here, you're not going to be the only one. There's others already coming. And not everybody's going to be gawking at you and staring and but I just want you to be down here with friends. And for those of you that are down here at the front, maybe it would encourage you to kind of look to your left and right and see you're not alone. That you're not the only one hurting and that God's not forgotten you. That difficulties in life and fears, it's common to all of us. And we're in this thing together. We're a family. And so others, if you just need to slide out of your seat and come forward, and I just want to pray over you. Again, we're not going to take your picture and put it on Facebook. We just want you to feel the freedom to come be prayed for. Does anybody else need to come before we pray? We're going to give you another moment. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ in our church who feels led to do this, maybe you're one of our leaders or you're a believer who's been walking with the Lord for some time, would some of you just join me here at the front and let's lay hands on our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want us to pray over them. I can't go through and lay hands on everyone, but I would love for each of these to feel a hand of love on them so that no one that's come forward feels alone. So we need some other folks. Would you come still? You don't have to say anything. Just touch their shoulder. Pray in your spirit for them. And it's still not too late to come if you yourself need prayer. God sees you. There's something about stepping out of that seat in humility that does something in our heart. We're showing our dependence upon God. We're showing our neediness. Does anyone else need to come? I just need prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, would you hear our cries? Father, I think of that psalm where you say that all of our tears and tossings, you put them in your bottle in heaven. Father, in heaven now, would you store up in heaven these cries and these prayers? Oh God, would you in your mercy hear these cries one at a time, Lord, and would you pour out grace upon grace upon grace? Father, for these that are hurting and they've come forward in humility and dependence, God, as they feel that hand on their shoulder, God, may they know that is an extension of your love and grace to them through another believer. So God, may every weary soul feel the love of Jesus, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. God, would you come now and minister to our souls, and would you have mercy? Lord, for those that didn't step out of their seat, God, you see them too right where they are. And God, would you just speak a word of encouragement and grace to them? Lord Jesus, would you lean into the body of Christ? Lean close, Lord Jesus, and lavish us. We need your grace. Lord, set your children free from anxiety and worry, and may we cast it upon you in Jesus' name. God, bring healing to these. Bring peace. Bring liberation. God, bring joy. Bring hope. Bring faith, even in the tears and the pain. Give this underlying peace that passes all understanding. God, give peace. God, have mercy. Have mercy in Jesus' name, Father, as we sing this song of your faithfulness back to you. We sing, great is your faithfulness. God, give us faith to believe these words. As we sing together now in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.